Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, and today we're taking a look at the minor prophets of the Old Testament and asking God to speak to us through His Word. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 77 of the Minor Prophets. Today we are wrapping up our study of Zechariah with a devotion titled, A Fountain of Forgiveness. Charles Spurgeon once wrote, "There is a fountain opened, not a cistern nor a reservoir, but a fountain. A fountain continues still to bubble up and is as full after 50 years as at the first. And even so, the provision and the mercy of God for the forgiveness and justification of our souls continually flows and overflows." Our text for today is from Zechariah chapters 13 and 14, and today I will be reading from the New Living Translation. "On that day, a fountain will be opened for the dynasty of David and for the people of Jerusalem, a fountain to cleanse them from all their sins and impurity. And on that day, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, I will erase idol worship throughout the land, so that even the names of the idols will be forgotten. I will remove from the land both the false prophets and the spirit of impurity that came with them. If anyone continues to prophesy, his own father and mother will tell him, 'You must die, for you have prophesied lies in the name of the Lord.' And as he prophesies, his own father and mother will stab him. On that day, people will be ashamed to claim the prophetic gift. No one will pretend to be a prophet by wearing prophet's clothes. And he will say, 'I'm no prophet. I'm a farmer. I began working for a farmer as a boy.' And if someone asks, 'Then what about these wounds on your chest?' He will say, 'I was wounded at my friend's house.' Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, the man who is my partner, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Strike down the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn against the lambs. 2/3 of the people in the land will be cut off and die, says the Lord. But 1/3 will be left in the land. I will bring that group through the fire and make them pure. I will refine them like silver and purify them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, 'These are my people.' And they will say, 'The Lord is our God.' Watch, for the day of the Lord is coming, when your possessions will be plundered right in front of you. I will gather all the nations to fight against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses looted, and the women raped. Half the population will be taken into captivity, and the rest will be left among the ruins of the city. Then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations, as he has fought in times past. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will split apart, making a wide valley running from east to west. Half the mountain will move toward the north end, half toward the south. You will flee through this valley, for it will reach across to Azal. Yes, you will flee as you did from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all his holy ones with him. On that day, the sources of light will no longer shine. Yet there will be continuous day. Only the Lord knows how this could happen. There will be no normal day and night, for at evening time, it will still be light. On that day, life-giving waters will flow out from Jerusalem, half toward the Dead Sea and half toward the Mediterranean, flowing continuously in both summer and winter. And the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, there will be one Lord. His name alone will be worshipped. All the land, from Geba, north of Judah, to Ramon, south of Jerusalem, will become one vast plain. But Jerusalem will be raised up in its original place and will be inhabited all the way from the Benjamin Gate over to the site of the Old Gate, then to the Corner Gate, and from the Tower of Hananel to the King's Wine Presses. And Jerusalem will be filled, safe at last, never again to be cursed and destroyed. And the Lord will send a plague on all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their people will become like walking corpses, their flesh rotting away. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. On that day, they will be terrified, stricken by the Lord with great panic. They will fight their neighbors hand to hand. Judah, too, will be fighting at Jerusalem. The wealth of all the neighboring nations will be captured, great quantities of gold and silver and fine clothing. This same plague will strike the horses, mules, camels, donkeys, and all the other animals in the enemy camps. In the end, the enemies of Jerusalem who survived the plague will go up to Jerusalem each year to worship the King, the Lord of Heaven's armies, and to celebrate the Festival of Shelters. Any nation in the world that refuses to come to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of Heaven's armies, will have no rain. If the people of Egypt refuse to attend the festival, the Lord will punish them with the same plague that He sends on the other nations who refuse to go. Egypt and the other nations will all be punished if they don't go to celebrate the Festival of Shelters. On that day, even the harness bells of the horses will be inscribed with these words, "Holy to the Lord." And the cooking pots in the temple of the Lord will be as sacred as the basins used beside the altar. In fact, every cooking pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord of Heaven's armies. All who come to worship will be free to use any of these pots to boil their sacrifices. And on that day, there will no longer be traitors in the temple of the Lord of Heaven's armies. Since chapter and verse divisions were not added to the Bible until approximately 1560, Zechariah chapters 12 and 13 are so closely connected that they could be understood as one thought. The cleansing of sin depicted in chapter 13 follows the repentance of chapter 12. Chapter 13 begins with the phrase, "on that day," which occurs only two verses earlier in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 11. This phrase occurs nine times in these two chapters. In addition, the phrase, "the dynasty of David and for the people of Jerusalem," in Zechariah 13, 1, is found in chapter 12, verse 10. Therefore, these two chapters deal with the same people, the Jews, and the same period, the end of all history. The significance is that the blessings from the cleansing of Israel described in Zechariah chapter 13 follow the repentance noted in chapter 12. James Montgomery Boyce writes, "It is always the case that repentance must precede cleansing, and that cleansing from sin follows genuine repentance." The source of the cleansing discussed in Zechariah 13 is a fountain that will be opened. This fountain will cleanse Israel from all of their sins and impurity. That's from verse 1. Peter Craigie, explains this open fountain. Within the city, a fountain would be established whose perpetually flowing waters would cleanse the citizens from sin. Now that the external enemy of the city has been conquered and all threat removed, the inner life of the city would be tended to. The imagery of a fountain flowing perpetually with waters of cleansing is a striking one. The source of the water, and therefore of the cleansing, was God. And who, like Pontius Pilate, has not tried to wash from his hand the stain of guilt and sin, only to find the stain remains when the water has been dried off? The sense of the need for cleansing is not uncommon among human beings, but finding the water that will truly cleanse is a much more difficult task. And thus, this prophetic word is full of promise, a part of the gift of God in the establishment of His kingdom is the provision of a fountain of cleansing waters. When this fountain is opened, Israel will be cleansed from all idolatry and false prophets. That's from verses 2 through 6. The New Testament teaches in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, through Christ, God has opened a cleansing fountain for everyone defiled by sin. The last three verses of Zechariah 13 describe the shepherd struck and the nation scattered. That's verses 7 through 9. We understand that the shepherd is Jesus and the nation is Israel. Jesus quoted Zechariah 13:7 in Matthew 26:31 when he referred to his disciples scattering when he was suffering. Zechariah 13, verses 8 and 9, states that after a time of Israel's dispersion, only one-third will be brought through the fires of suffering and persecution. The book of Zechariah closes with a reminder that God will deliver Jerusalem, and the Lord will reign over all the earth. During this incredible time, Christ will visibly appear. You can see chapter 14, verses 3 through 7. And He will also defeat Israel's enemies. That's chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. Life-giving waters will flow from Jerusalem. An earthquake will change Jerusalem's landscape. The land around Jerusalem will be lowered, and Jerusalem will be raised above its surroundings. In place of the mountain regions that once safeguarded Jerusalem, Jesus will protect His people. The Gentiles will join the worship at Jerusalem, and all nations that refuse to attend will face the judgment of God. At that time, the harness bells of the horses and every cooking pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be marked Holy to the Lord. Warren Wiersbe writes this conclusion to the study of Zechariah. Zechariah's book begins with a call to repentance, but it ends with a vision of a holy nation and a glorious kingdom. Zechariah was one of God's heroes who ministered at a difficult time and in a difficult place, but he encouraged God's people by showing them visions of what God has planned for their future. God is still jealous over Jerusalem and the Jewish people, and He will fulfill His promises. Some questions to consider. How does the open fountain, prophesied in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1, relate to God's forgiveness in your life? How does the depiction of the day of the Lord of Zechariah 14 relate to how God fights for His people? What does it say about His love for Israel? And finally, in what ways has the study of Zechariah shaped your spiritual journey? Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great day.